It's an emergency podcast, everybody. Giannis Antetokounmpo has been traded to the Miami Heat. It actually happened. Giannis has actually been traded. I recorded this emergency podcast live on YouTube tonight, talking about the implications for the Bucks. What does this mean for them? For the Heat, are they now the best team in the Eastern Conference? In the Celtics, they missed out. They still have Jaylen Brown. What's going to happen there? That's all coming up right now on the Kevin O'Connor Show. And a quick reminder, I'll have another podcast on Tuesday night after the NBA draft. We'll be talking about everything that happened throughout the day on Tuesday, potentially more trades, as well as everything that happened on the draft, during the draft itself. I'll be live on Yahoo Sports. Yeah, NBA with Tom Haverstraw, King McClure, and Ice Young reacting live to the entire NBA draft. So if you want us to be your primary or secondary screen experience, head over to Yahoo Sports NBA on YouTube, on X, or Facebook, Yahoo Sports TV, as well as the Yahoo Sports Network. We're streaming literally everywhere. You're going to have a hard time not finding us. So check us out live during the NBA draft. But right now, let's talk about Giannis from the Bucks to the Miami Heat. It happened. Welcome back to the Kevin O'Connor Show. We are live from my hotel room in New York City because Giannis Antetokounmpo going to the Miami Heat. It actually finally happened. There's a part of me that actually can't believe that we're actually here. I mean, it felt like for so long that Giannis just was going to be in Milwaukee forever. Like we were stuck in some loop, some simulation where Giannis was just already traded, never actually won a title in Milwaukee. And yet it actually happened. And like Giannis is going to the Miami Heat for Tyler Herro, Jaime Jaquez, Kelel Ware, Kasperis Jakachonis, three first round draft picks, including number 13 in Tuesday night's draft, one pick swap, one second round draft pick. That's the haul the Bucks are getting for Giannis. And from what I understand, is this was clearly a lot of back and forth between the Bucks, between the Celtics, between the Heat, trying to drive up the price. I think the Heat were holding out on giving that swap. They were holding out on giving Kasperis Jakachonis, that it was Herro, Ware, Jaquez, and that eventually they decided just to give more to actually make it happen. Whereas Boston, on the Celtics side of things, they just didn't actually want to give up an Hugo Gonzalez. They didn't want to give up a Baylor Shireman type of guy. And that led to Miami just getting the edge here. I've heard from a number of sources, especially in the latter half of the day after the Bucks had their big meeting with all the ownership, all the front office executives, that Bucks owner Jimmy Haslam, who also owns the Cleveland Browns, was one of the real driving forces in this decision for Milwaukee to take this Miami deal over the Boston deal. So Heat fans can thank Haslam here in part because what happened in Cleveland with the Browns. Haslam just dealt with a Myles Garrett trade demand, and then he's dealing with this Giannis situation. Haslam, according to my sources, was very concerned about getting Jaylen Brown, him having a good year, but the Bucks not being great. And then a year from now, Jaylen Brown demanding another trade. And I get it, especially when you look at this Miami return. This is a lot that the Bucks are getting back for a franchise legend. Herro, in his mid-20s, a 20-point-per-game scorer, goes to the Bucks. Either they flip him, get another first-round draft pick, or maybe he has a career year in Milwaukee. Kelel Ware, Heat fans know all the ups and downs with him, with Eric Spoelstra. Kelel Ware is the type of guy where he has these stretches where he looks like a dominant defender who can also shoot threes, and then he gets lazy, and he has these stretches where he really struggles. Jaquez, type of guy where he probably should have been sixth man of the year. I know I regret voting for Keldon Johnson. I'll be honest about that, especially the way he stunk it up led in the latter rounds of the playoffs. Jaquez is a do-it-all guy who basically does everything except consistently shoot threes. But he just completed the third year of his NBA career. He's the type of guy who could have a leap moving forward. And so I think with these key pieces that have been talked about, Hero, Where, Jaquez, then you add on top of that, Kasparis Jakachonis being in the deal, who didn't play a lot for Miami as a rookie, but is a very talented young guard playing with and without the ball. He shot over 40% from three last year. He was a good shooter at Illinois. That's four players. And then you get the 13th pick in a loaded draft class and two future first-round draft picks in 2031 and 2033 at the point that the Heat might suck. It's a good return for the Bucks, and I think clearly Jaylen Brown was the best overall asset on the table for Milwaukee. But if Boston was indeed unwilling to give up Hugo Gonzalez and Baylor Shireman, or even if they were on the table alongside Jaylen Brown, I'm not totally certain that that deal was necessarily better for the Milwaukee Bucks. And so obviously for Milwaukee, you know, it's sad to lose Giannis, but now they move on. They get a clean slate and he goes to Miami. And I'll tell you what, I get two key thoughts here for the Miami Heat side of things. One, great. Finally, star hunting has paid off. Pat Riley in this Heat front office finally cashed in and they finally got a superstar. They finally got a guy who's a legitimate MVP contender and Giannis Antetokounmpo. And he wants to be there. He's happy to be there. And this clearly is an upgrade for the team. It is clearly puts them on a better path towards contending in the Eastern Conference. The flip side of that, though, is everything I just said about what the Bucks are getting. You're giving up your sixth man of the year candidate. You're giving up a really key shot creation piece in Tyler Herro. You're giving up a young talented center in Khalil Weir. You're giving up a depth guard that you were high on that you took 20th a year ago. You're giving up a lot of draft capital. Now you don't have any future tradable first. You only have future swaps. The Heat have a lot of work to do to really make this to be a true contending team, because on the surface, yes, you have Bam Adebayo, an elite defender who's improved offensively as a scorer, as a three-point shooter. Yes, you have Antetokounmpo, who alone gives you of the potential of being a top 5-10 offense. Giannis alone puts you in that category as a team. But Norm Powell, free agent, we'll see. I assume he'll be back. I would expect that to be back. Davion Mitchell in your backcourt. Is a Mitchell-Powell backcourt enough firepower? I'm not so sure there. Andrew Wiggins at the three. Wiggins is solid. Don't get me wrong. Jovic, is he going to take a leap off the bench? Pelle Larsson, another year? Could he get even better? These are some names that are solid players. I think there's something with these depth pieces that are worth being excited about if you're the Miami Heat, if you're a fan of the Miami Heat, especially with like a Jovic guy, a Larsson type of guy. There's reason to be excited. Without a doubt, there is. But the team does need work. I do worry about the spacing offensively. Bam Adebayo, even though he's improved as a shooter last year, 32% from three on over 5 attempts per game. He has yet to prove he can be a high-volume shooter. We know Giannis is a non-shooter. With Wiggins, with Powell, with Mitchell, there needs to be some more perimeter creation. So how do the Heat find that? That's one of the thoughts on my mind. And for the people watching live on YouTube, appreciate you guys joining us here tonight, this late night. It's almost, at this point, almost 1 a.m. Eastern. With this deal happening here, I'm curious to know what you guys think here. What do the Heat do in terms of playmaking and shot creation? What do they add here? I mean, is it a Ja Morant buyout? Well, he doesn't add shooting. Is it taking a guy in the second round? Does that really a solution here? Who's the guard? Who's the guy for Miami Heat? I don't think that 41st pick is necessarily the answer, but I'm curious what you guys think who the next target is for the Heat, because I can't imagine this team is done. I'd be shocked if the Heat are done at this point, but they don't have draft capital to give up anymore. They have the 41st pick, and they have another future swap, and they have future second round picks. And that's it. Could they flip Wiggins? Could they? But then you lose a very key wing. Could you flip Jovic? Well, he's not a lot. He's not that valuable. He hasn't proven that much. I don't know what's next for the Heat. And that, to me, is the key question. How do they resolve this backcourt? How do they improve it from where it is today with Powell and with Mitchell? The Boston Celtics, they get outbid by the Miami Heat, at least in the eyes of the Milwaukee Bucks. Boston, man, they're in a tough, tough spot because we know for certain that Jaylen Brown was on the table for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Jaylen, of course, has been involved in trade talks as long as he's been in Boston. He was offered for Kawhi Leonard. That I believe to be true from so many conversations over the years with league sources. He's been involved in other trade talks over the years, some confirmed, some unconfirmed, some he might believe, some he may not. And it's a business, and you got to be a big boy and put on your big boy pants, and as Kobe Bryant once said about Pau Gasol, and deal with it and compete and try to win. However, after finishing sixth in MVP voting last year, Jaylen Brown did, after leading the team to a 2 seed with Jason Tatum missing basically the whole year, even after all that, they still put you in a trade conversation for Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's old, has had suffered injuries, who whined his way out of Milwaukee this whole past season. If you're Jaylen Brown, that's what you're thinking. And they still don't believe in me. I don't totally know if you can recover from this if you're Jaylen Brown and the Boston Celtics. And I would expect from my conversations with people around the league that Boston is going to continue trying to trade Jaylen Brown, and that Giannis was simply plan A. What is plan B? I don't know exactly. I don't know for sure. I would think that Boston is in on Trey Murphy. Trey Murphy makes a lot of sense for the Celtics roster. He's young. He's a two-way player. He can shoot threes at an elite level. He can do a little bit off the dribble. He's a really good teammate, a good connective passer, a very, very talented defensive player. He can rebound. He does a little bit of everything. And I think Jaylen Brown would also have appeal to New Orleans, a clear upgrade, the type of piece that can make them feel like a legitimate team, more competitive, that if Jaylen Brown can raise the ceiling of the Boston Celtics, then perhaps he could do the same for the New Orleans Pelicans, a franchise that stinks and has for a long time. And so I think with Boston, we're going to see some type of Jaylen Brown move. It's just a matter to where. And I don't know. I don't know where that team will be. And that might not even be the true plan B. Maybe Trey Murphy is actually a plan C or a plan D for Boston. But ultimately, boy, Boston's in a spot where I think they have to do something else. I cannot imagine that we're going to be in a situation here that Jaylen Brown is in a Celtics uniform next season. That said, you know, Brad Stevens did say during his exit interview back in April after the Celtics blew a 3-1 lead to the Philadelphia 76ers that he is comfortable with the team as is, that this team has had a lot of success, but things change. They just went down to the 1 yard line for Giannis Antetokounmpo, and they lost to a rival in the Eastern Conference in the Miami Heat, in part because they may have been unwilling to put as much draft capital or young players on the table. Peyton Pritchard, Hugo Gonzalez, Baylor Shireman. There's a number of players that could have put in there to sweeten the offer to the Milwaukee Bucks, and they didn't do it. They didn't do it. Looking at the live chat, a couple of you guys in here, I see Gloomy88 said, Jaylen Brown for Trey Murphy. Why would Boston do that? Because Trey Murphy's a really good player. Hurricane Benny's going to love being able to chuck 30 shots a game, greedy player. I assume that's about Jaylen Brown. I don't know if that's true. Connor, JD for Jamal Murray. I think that's an intriguing idea from the Boston side of things. I don't necessarily think it is a good idea for the Denver side of things. I don't know. Jose says Trey Murphy, a below average defender, man. I wouldn't say so. Epic fail 424. Thank you. He's JD for Sabonis. I would. No, not a chance on the Boston side of things. There's no way they're going to trade for Domantas Sabonis. 0%. Zero. Do you wear Invisalign? No, but I do wear my retainer. I'm good ever since having braces as a teenager. Q, I do not wear Invisalign, just a retainer. Asia, who do you think Miami will pick up with all the exceptions? Good question. I think scraps we're talking about here. For the Miami Heat, I can't imagine we're talking about anything super noteworthy. Addiction said Jaylen Brown for Jimmy Butler and 4 first round picks. You know what, Addiction? That is an interesting idea because I think for the Boston side of things, you could make the real argument that taking a step back could make some sense. Like, four firsts from Golden State could include number 11 tonight, Tuesday, in the NBA draft. And getting a player at number 11 could give Boston somebody that helps, you know, kick the can forward with contention, even if you take a slight step back this year. So I think that's a very intriguing idea that not a lot of people are talking about for Jaylen for draft capital rather than Jaylen for an established player. We think Zion also on the move, J-Lo said, very possible both of them could be. I think Ja Morant in particular will be on the move. It's just a matter to where Ja Morant will be on the move. JB's of the Shanghai Sharks, said Joshua. I don't know about that. How about the Portis for Clay, said John. That's an interesting idea. Do you think Tyler Hero is going to be moved, said DJ? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, what I reported earlier last week or earlier this weekend was that the Bucks want to contend. They're not contend. They want to compete. Sorry, I misspoke there. The Bucks want to compete. They want to be a team that's in the play-in, the playoff race, maybe be in the top six because they don't have their own picks. There's no reason for them to bottom out. There's no reason to be in the lottery. And so I do think that Milwaukee, there's a chance we see them keep Tyler Hero and see what they can get out of Tyler Hero with increased usage, more opportunity, and then review things. Maybe come, you know, February, a true contender views Hero as the missing piece and you get 3 picks or 2 picks instead of just like the 21st pick from Detroit for him right now. So I think that's a real possibility. Appreciate you all, you guys, staying up late, coming in here tonight. We got over 1K people live in the YouTube chat right now. Give us a like if you haven't done so already, and be sure to follow Yahoo Sports as well and hit that subscribe button with Yahoo as well. We will be live all night long during the first round of the 2026 NBA draft on Tuesday night, which I'm fired up about. We got Ice Young, Tom Haverstraw, King McClure, and myself. We're going to be live the whole first round. I'm pumped about it. It's going to be crazy. We already got the honest deal. The big shoe has fallen here. The big domino has tumbled over. What's next? What is next? Could there be more big moves? My colleague Kelly Eco from Yahoo Sports talked about the Houston Rockets, how they're open to offers for their key players. Could Boston be moving Derek White to the Minnesota Timberwolves into their new traded player exception? Could Jaylen Brown be on the move? And speaking of Minnesota, big trade tonight. Very intriguing trade, sending Julius Randle to the Brooklyn Nets and getting in return nothing. Pretty much. They just dumped him. they traded down 5 spots in the draft from 28 to 33. And They got back salary savings and a traded player exception. They re-signed Ayo Dosunmu to a 5-year, $112 million contract, according to Shams Charania. And for them, now they also have a traded player exception of $33 million that can fit in a Derek White, a Trey Murphy, a Drew Holiday, a number of different guys you can think about across the league from Minnesota to restructure this team around Anthony Edwards and whoever else they decide to keep. Naz Reid, I think Rudy Gobert could be in the move as well. That's very possible. It's an interesting night in the NBA because I think like some of these moves, like obviously Giannis is the big one everybody was waiting for. But that Minnesota deal also, I think, opens up the possibility of further big moves as well. I think it's very possible Tuesday night could be one of the more active trade nights when it comes to mid-draft trades. I think that's very possible. I think the top four is probably going to go Chalk, DiBonsa, Peterson, Boozer, Wilson. But after that, who knows? Who knows? Let's go back to the YouTube chat here. Robert said, Jaylen Brown to Portland, still a possibility. I wouldn't rule it out. I just don't know what the return is that makes sense for Boston, to be honest with you. Gloomy said, shout out to the Chicago GM for trading cash considerations for Nick Claxton. You're right. That is the note that I left out with that Nets-Wolves deal, is that the Nets sent Nick Claxton to the Chicago Bulls. And for Chicago, they're in a pretty interesting spot now because they just traded for Nick Claxton, who, let's be honest, he hasn't been anywhere as close defensively as he was at his peak years a few years ago with the KD, James Harden, Kyrie addition Brooklyn Nets, when Claxton was by far one of the most impressive switch defenders in the entire NBA. High volume of switching, but also just locked down. He's not that same guy anymore. But the Nets also have sucked. So like, what's the reason to put in the effort and hustle in the way that he did prior? Maybe Chicago, he could tap back into that while also showing off his kind of connective playmaking ability as a big man. And so assuming Chicago gets Caleb Wilson with the fourth pick, you're talking about a Bulls team that has Caleb Wilson, Nick Claxton, Josh Giddey, Matis Muzelis, Noah Esenge. You could run a 5-man lineup with all dudes who are at least 6'8", 6'9", switchable across all 5 positions. But not a lot of offense, but we don't need to talk about that. Not a lot of offense. But hey, it's a type of thing here with I think that Bulls team. They're heading towards a very, very interesting direction moving forward in this current landscape of the NBA. And I think ultimately, I mean, I think with this draft, we could possibly see, like if you're thinking about 3 teams in the top 10 that could surprise everybody. I think if DiBonsa goes 1, we'll see what Utah does. I think it'll probably be Peterson. I'm going to make that change in my mock draft on Tuesday morning once that drops. Still think there's a chance of Boozer there and what ripple effect would that cause throughout the rest of the lottery. Number 5 with the Clippers as well. I've talked a lot and reported on how they are a team that could trade down. They could also just take Akoff and force the Kings to move up. I think they really like Braden Burries or Michael Brown. What direction do they go and how does that influence the teams behind them? And then Dusty Nay, hired by the Dallas Mavericks, who have the 9th pick in the draft. There have long been rumors about Dallas being a team that could trade down with Oklahoma City for 12-17 or with Charlotte for 14-18. And so with Dusty Nay going there for Michigan, does that mean they're going to increase their chances of taking a Michigan prospect? Or is that just a lazy assumption that the Mavericks would have interest in just drafting a Wolverine because Dusty May's there? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But that's what people are talking about around the league right now. One thing I will note is I have heard from a number of different sources, and I've not seen this name attached to Dallas anywhere else before. I've heard Dallas really likes Alabama point guard LeBaron Fylon. And so just something to keep filed in the back of your mind entering the draft tomorrow night with potential moves that could happen with trade downs or them just staying in that slot at number 9. Let's go back to the YouTube chat here, guys. Jalen to Utah for the number 2 pick, said Nate. Not going to happen. They're not going to give up number 2 for Jalen. That's too much. I can't see that happening. Salim, could we get Paul George or number 23 for Jalen Brown? I don't think so. I can't see that happening. Robert, please tell me the Blazers aren't circling back for Anthony Davis. Robert, the Blazers aren't circling back for Anthony Davis, as far as I know. I haven't heard anything about that. What's the John Morant landing spot? I don't know. I don't know, Nate. I'm not so sure there. I do not know. I don't know. I think Minnesota would be a possibility, but I haven't heard that in a long time. I thought Miami was a possibility. I feel that much less so now. Here's the thing with this draft class. There are so many guards. There's Burries and Wogler and Flemings and Brown and Acuff in the top 10. There's Christian Anderson and Bennett Sturts and LeBaron Filon and Abuka Okori, and I'm definitely forgetting somebody in the 10 to 20 range. There's a bunch of guys in the second round. Braden Smith, Jaden Bradley. The list is long of guards. If you've ever played around with my NBA draft guide over at Yahoo Sports this year, which has 100 profiles of prospects, there's a lot of good quality guards. There's a lot. And so I say all that to say, if a team wants Ja Morant, I don't think they're going to want Ja Morant until after the draft, when they have some clarity on what their actual situation is. Jack said, here's a good question. This is a social clip right here. LeBron to Miami? I don't know, Jack. I think LeBron's probably going back to the Lakers and the Warriors would be his plan B. But the situation right here with Miami is suddenly pretty, pretty interesting. So I wouldn't necessarily rule out LeBron at least having a wandering eye back towards Miami. Did Walker Kessler's market just get vaporized today? Asked Mark. I don't know. Probably. I mean, hey, it really sucks for him. Like, some cap space got swallowed up by Chicago and Brooklyn. Maybe he should have taken that deal. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Addicted. Thank you. Addicted said, what's your best advice for NBA fans wanting to find legitimate NBA sources for rumors and news? I mean, look, stay tuned with Yahoo Sports here on Yahoo Sports NBA, whether it's my show, The Dunker Spot, or Tom's show as well, The Big Number. I think we are a good resource for videos. I think if you're reading, I really like hoopsrumors.com for like a quick summary stuff, right? I think like that's a type of resource. If you're not looking for full articles of analysis, that's like a summary type of page. For social media, I mean, obviously, like, I think Yahoo has the best by far social feed. I think we are always on top of things that are legitimate, real stuff that's always being reported, whether you're on Instagram, on X, or TikTok. Our Yahoo Sports feeds are awesome. And follow me as well at Kevin O'Connor. I'm always talking about everything. But appreciate that, Addicted. What lottery pick is most likely to be traded? I'd say number 5, Half-Cast. Yeah, boy, Benz, appreciate it, man. Thank you. With Alvarado pushing his sign date back in the signing of Diawara, do the Knicks trade out of the first? I think it's possible that we do see the Knicks trade out of the first, but I also think it's possible we see the Knicks try to move up. There's been a lot of conversation behind the scenes about New York being one of the teams trying to get into the top 20 or so range. I don't think they have the ammo or the desire to get there as much as some other teams do. But it's just been in discussion. And I think trading out is certainly a possibility for a future pick rather than taking their current first round pick this year. When they're sort of at the point where there's a drop off in terms of quality of prospect and their current range there. But thank you, your boy. I appreciate that. Boston collector. What about Brown? No, that's no. You wish in your dreams. For the listeners, Boston collector. So what about Brown for Clay and Flag? No, not happening. The clear choice for the Celtics is to dish Brown to the Rockets, said Sheffin with the Chief. I agree. I think that would make a heck of a lot of sense for Houston. I'm not sure what the return is that would make sense for Boston. Phil, yeah, you are right. I did say Giannis to the Celtics earlier today. I think the Celtics also would have thought Giannis to the Celtics earlier today. I think the Heat also would have thought Giannis to the Celtics earlier today until they upped their offer and Boston didn't. So I'd say that's what changed there. Good question from at Yahoo NBA. Make sure you subscribe to at Yahoo NBA if you're not done so already. Did Miami just become the East favorite? Or do they still need one more shooter and guard to make Giannis and Bam work? I think the answer to that question is Miami has not become the East favorite. I think there's still more work to do for the Miami Heat. I can't imagine that they're done yet. I think the Heat are in a position right now where they certainly are better now today than they were this morning. That's for sure. They are better. But there's still work to be done for the Miami Heat to actually be the favorites in the Eastern Conference, to surpass the defending champion New York Knicks, who have a strong roster, 1-10, to surpass some of these other teams in the East as well. I don't think they're necessarily ahead of Boston. I don't think the Heat have quite surpassed the Celtics until we see this picture fully come into focus. They very well could easily surpass everybody else, considering they got Giannis Antetokounmpo, one of the greatest players of this generation, still 1 year removed from being a guy in MVP discussions for 8 straight years. Giannis is still amazing, but they need another creator. They need another shooter. That roster needs a bit more depth for me to call them the East favorites. And never mind Detroit. Detroit is doing work. They're going for some guys out there, some wings, some 3-and-D-style players, a la Trey Murphy. They're going for some swings out here to improve their team. A 60-win team, granted they got smoked in the playoffs and they blew it, they still had a 60-win season and they have a chance to get better. Cleveland could get better. Toronto could get better. Atlanta could get better as well. The Heat are going from a 43-win team, adding Giannis, who just had his most injury-plagued season of his entire career and is over 30. There's no guarantee that Giannis pans out the way the Heat hope that he does. Obviously, I would bet on Giannis working out because he's Giannis. But the history of players being traded for that are over 30 years old, as Tom Haverstraw detailed, I believe, on both The Big Number and on my show, and maybe even wrote about it as well on Yahoo Sports, the history is pretty bleak for trading for those players. That said, it is also so rare that we see a player of Giannis's caliber traded. Still, you think, in the prime of his career. So I would bet on Giannis working out. I'd be a little bit surprised there. Mark said, Celtics are done and losing Brown soon. Y'all screwed up, Mark said. I do think Boston very well might have screwed up. But, I mean, I remember a long time ago, I'll say this for Celtics fans who are sad in the chat. Maybe you're young. Maybe you weren't there in the 2014 NBA draft. But a lesson for you. I was there in the draft media room that night. Danny Ainge came to the podium and answered questions about the reports that the Boston Celtics were making crazy trade offers to move up in the draft to go get Justice Winslow. And Danny said at the podium, he's like, sometimes the best deals you make are the ones you don't. And I think that's true in sports. I think it's true in life. A lot of the time, sometimes the thing that you want the most in your life ends up being the thing that would have sent you down the wrong path. And that the thing that you thought was just a backup plan or a consolation for you, or even the worst case scenario in your life, ends up leading you down a path that leads to the best possible result. You just don't know. Like, it's sometimes in life, you just don't know. And true also in sports. that Boston tonight, if you're a Celtics fan, are you disappointed? Maybe you have good reason to, and maybe now the Celtics are absolutely screwed and they're never going to win a championship again for another 50 years. That's possible. That Jaylen Brown and Tatum, this relationship is tarnished, and it sets them on a path towards the end. That's very possible. It's possible. We might be heading there. But it's also possible that Giannis keeps getting hurt, and that a guy who's had injuries, major injuries, in consecutive years, and this time in the playoffs, keeps having that happen, and that Miami turns into more of a retirement home stop for him than a place to continue contending for championships. And that could have been you if you had won this bidding war for Giannis. You just don't know. You just don't know. That's the way it is in sports and in life. It's the way it is in the draft. Like, I interviewed Darren Peterson earlier today, and it's so funny. Like, I posted it on X with a clip. You should check out the interview if you haven't already with Peterson, with a clip of him talking about how when he was a kid, he didn't really watch much basketball. And as he's gotten older, he didn't even really watch the playoffs that much. But he talked about how he's a film junkie, and he studies opponents and their tendencies and what they do, and he like consumes all this content that his trainer Phil Beckner sends him because he's trying to learn. And when he was a kid, he wasn't watching, but he was always playing. And every other comment, the quotes, the replies on X, and even the comments I've seen on YouTube were like, this guy is proven as a bust. This guy studies hard. This guy doesn't care about basketball. This guy has such a great mindset. Like, every other comment was the opposite. And I bring that story up, tying this to the trade conversations today, to say it's all in an exact science, and everybody has a different perspective of things. And the way the draft will go tonight on Tuesday is truly unpredictable. Maybe Darren Peterson is the type of guy that gets his money and ends up like just not putting in the amount of effort required to be a star level player. But maybe he is the type of guy who might not watch full basketball games like many people don't, but he might digest the things that matter and lead to him winning because everybody's different. I don't know the answer. I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. I don't even think the team that drafts Darren Peterson knows the answer until they get him in their building, because you just don't know. And so that's all there is to say, really, about these trades that happen tonight, about the draft picks that are going to happen. In some regards, you just don't know. You're betting on an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid and knowing what they're going to be like when they're 25, 26, 27 years old. It's really hard to predict. It's totally an inexact science. Some teams are just a little bit better than others at it. And I look forward to seeing how the draft plays out. I think we already got the huge domino here with the Bucks. And the one thing that I haven't talked about, and we can kind of wind down here with this last thought, is now that the Bucks have the 10th and the 13th pick in the draft, they are a threat to move up alongside the Thunder at 12 and 17 and the Hornets at 14 and 18. The Bucks suddenly might even be in the pole position to move up if they choose to do so. Could the Bucks get up to number 5 with the Clippers? I think it's possible with 10 and 13. Who would the Bucks want there that's worth trading up for? I don't know. I don't know if there's somebody that makes sense to trade for up at 5, unless they really perceive Nate Amet, who they worked out in New York City. They've traveled to Brooklyn, according to my league sources, to work out with Nate Amet. I don't know. Could it be that they just stick at 10 and 13 and take 2 players? I could see that. Howie in the chat said 10 and 13 for 7 and 34. Something along those lines, I think, makes a lot of sense. Sure, you get your guy at 7 and still retain another pick in the early second round. I could see something like that making complete sense, especially for the Kings. If Acuff is not on the table, there's so much after the top 4. We know who the top 4 guys are going to be in some order. But after the top 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and beyond, it could get wild, especially in that 5 to 10 range, depending on what happens with 5 and 6. I can't wait to see the way it all plays out. I'm fired up for Tuesday night, man. I think this is going to be an awesome draft class. I think the draft this year is just going to inject so much good talent into the NBA, not just even the top guys. I'm talking like the Marez Johnsons, the Bennett Sturts types. I'm talking about Christian Anderson. Like this class is just littered with good players throughout the entire the second round. I can't wait to put out my top players remaining on my board after the first round, because it's going to have like Richie Saunders, Alex Caravan, Terrace Reed, maybe like Draymond Brazil, Emmanuel Sharp, a lot of really good college basketball players that are going to go to the NBA and be good players on rookie deals if they land in the right spot. But the first round tonight, man, I think we could see some moves, especially now that this Giannis deal finally happened. Thank God it's over with. I was so sick and tired of talking about what happened here, when it was going to happen with Giannis Antetokounmpo. A couple last things here I saw in the YouTube chat that I wanted to circle back at. a couple Celtics fans I saw earlier remarked about their disappointment. Brad Stevens and Boston, did they screw this up? I mean, we see the graphic on screen here, what could have been for the Celtics. We just saw that a little bit ago with Joe Mazzulla, Jason Tatum, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. This was Stevens' first time dealing with a trade of this magnitude. Did they take it too far? Did they now put themselves in a bad position where now they'll be scrambling with Jaylen Brown? Or do they have a clear-cut backup plan that they're extremely comfortable with? We're going to find out in the coming days and weeks. I think that's a real question about how Brad Stevens handled this. I'm willing to give this time to see the way things play out over the next few weeks here. It was asked about how does this draft class compare to recent draft classes. I think this one has a chance to be one of the all-timers. I don't think it's hyperbolic to say that. I don't think I'm exaggerating. I think this class truly has a chance to have both the top and elite talent. If you get the best version of Boozer, DiBonsa, Wilson, and Peterson, all four of those guys could be all-NBA players. All four of them. There's so many good guards, as I talked about earlier, in the top 10 and throughout the rest of the first round, even into the second round. There's guys that could exceed their draft slot. Marez Johnson, Jaxel Lendenborg, Alan Graves. I mean, it is up and down. Nate Amen, good setters. There's Hannes Steinbach, Adai Mara. There's the non-shooters who could figure it out. The Dalen Swains, the Koa Peets. There's the Kareem Lopez types. There's these raw players, these young players who could end up becoming really good long-term. I think this draft class has a top end that is just amazing, a mid-level up until the 20 or so pick that is deep with lottery quality prospects, and a late first round into the 30s, the early mid-30s, that has mid-teens to 20s quality prospects. This is a deep class with an elite top end. So yes, I do think this has a chance to be one of the all-time great draft classes, and certainly one of the best of the last 10 years, at least in my time. I've been doing draft classes since 2013. This is my favorite draft class. I think it's the best draft class, for sure. That's where I'm at with it. Well, guys, this was a lot of fun tonight. If you haven't already subscribed to Yahoo NBA, you should do that right now. You should hit that like button right now. You should hit that subscribe button right now, please. It really does help us out. You should also hit the bell to know, hey, we're going live tomorrow night or Tuesday night, tonight, during the NBA draft, first round, King McClure, Tom Haverstraw, Ice Young, and me live for the entire first round. We'll be live before it. We'll be live during it. And I'll be doing my reaction podcast after the draft as well. So I'm fired up, baby. This is the best time of the year. It is the best time of the year. So I can't wait for Tuesday night. Maybe we get some more big trades, but we got the biggest one already with Giannis Antetokounmpo going to the Miami Heat. Thank you, everybody, in the live YouTube chat for watching us. Thank you to Sarah and the whole Yahoo team for producing today's episode. Talk to you soon.